You are listening to the Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators Podcast with President and Founder Elizabeth Inman and co-host Kim Spence Mullen. This podcast provides a variety of topics that affect you as a federal employee. Our mission at Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators is to get to know you and understand your needs, wants, and long-term goals. Now, let's join Elizabeth and Kim.
Welcome back, friends, to the Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us and just want to say we know that you're working hard out there. We know that likely that you are in some sort of a break to listen to the podcast, whether it's in your car or maybe it's your lunch break or you happen to be heading home. And we appreciate all of the hard work that you do, because as a federal employee, you are serving our country. I mean, I know we have a lot of veterans that listen. I want to thank you, of course, and then also, but the service that federal employees provide, Elizabeth, is so valuable for the heartbeat of our country.
It sure is. And I'm so glad you said that, Kim, because that is our heart, both you and I, to thank them for the service that they do each and every day. I mean, really, if you just stop to think about, and I know there's lots of political opinions out there. There's a lot of personal opinions out there. I can remember when I got hired to go to work at the post office, I was working at a local law firm. I got hired in at the post office at a higher wage than, because of the position I got, than what the resident first year attorney was making at that law firm. Mm. And I had a good job. I was very well respected. They really liked me. They didn't want to lose me. Mm-hmm. So they teased me about getting one of those lazy government jobs and giving up a real career is how they worded it. And, you know, it angered me then. It angers me now. But if you stop and think about this, regardless of what your personal opinion is, and you just think about all of our federal services being shut down. Mm-hmm. Think about what your life would be like then. Whether it's our military, you know, and I've got two children that are vets. I've got one that retired military and spent two tours on the front lines carrying a gun, busting down doors. Mm-hmm. I love our veterans. I love our first responders. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the most patriotic people you ever meet, but I feel that same patriotism to our federal workers. I am forever in debt to their service, but I'm also forever in debt to the wonderful first career that I got to experience and that first pension that I draw as a result of that career. So very much the heartbeat of why we're here today.
And I think that's why people trust you, Elizabeth, is because there's a factor of what you bring from the experience that you had in the Postal Service. I mean, you understand the workings of federal government in a way that someone who's going to sit down maybe and be able to, you know, help me out, sure, if I'm retiring from a federal government position. Not that someone else can't help you if they've never worked in it, but there's something different about the mindset of someone who's been in it before. There just is. I mean, that is a real thing.
We are a federal family. We are a postal family. There's no two ways about it. You can go anywhere in the country, and if two feds get together, they have instant communication that they can share. Same thing with postal employees. And then, oh my goodness, the stories. You know, it's one of those things I thought about in retirement I might do, and that would be travel and gather the stories of all the federal workers and things they've experienced, postal employees, the things they experienced. I have so many stories to tell, it's not even funny.
I love your stories.
You know, today I was just thinking about, I was so excited. I got promoted to a level 22. And a level 22 is a postmaster's position, is a pretty high up position in a fairly large, you know, city. And I got a call one day from a local gentleman with a local business that telling me that he had mail missing. So my first conversation was about missing mail. My second conversation was, they're still missing mail. The third conversation turned to, I think you've got somebody stealing mail. Mm. Well, those are serious, serious accusations. Mm-hmm. And he got very, very ugly. And, you know, we involved law enforcement, our Postal Inspection Service, who I, by the way, am a huge fan of and mm-hmm. have seen them do, oh my goodness, have I seen them do tremendous good things out there in the field for us. But to make a long, long story short, Kim, I'll never forget the day my phone rang and they told me it was him. And I rolled my eyes thinking, oh, great, because we've not found the missing mail. There is mail missing. There's mm-hmm. checks missing. There's deposits missing. And I picked up the phone and answered it. And he just said, can you come by my office? So just happened to be that I could. I did. I walk in. When I walk in, on the table's all the missing mail. And his employee had it in her trunk.
Oh, no. Oh,
but you know, all the clients, all the customers, all the recipients of that mail mm-hmm. was given the Postal Service down the road mm-hmm. for mail not being received mm-hmm. when it wasn't our fault mm. at all.
Wow. Well, I even look back years ago. If, for those of you who are old enough to remember the anthrax scares, mm. you know, that came through the Postal Service.
It did.
I mean, imagine. I can't even fathom what you guys went through during that.
We lost employees yeah. To anthrax poisoning. Yes. Oh, my goodness. That's a whole podcast. We yeah. probably should do a podcast okay. on just that. Just like the COVID-19. I mean, everybody
yes.
talked about how everything shut down. Even in my business, I had, you know, peers out there that was talking about, you know, there's no reason to keep doing anything because everything's shut down. And I said, oh, no. You don't understand. Just look out your window. Mm-hmm. Your letter carriers will be delivering the mail every single day. Yeah. The mail will go on come rain, sleet, or snow, or COVID-19.
Wow.
They didn't get to stay home.
Yeah.
They didn't get to, I mean, I helped an awful lot of people retire during that period of time because their health couldn't withstand a COVID-19 exposure mm-hmm. or... I mean, I can remember just some in particular that the spouses left at home had serious health issues that they knew they could not be exposed at work
yeah.
and come home with that virus yeah. And a spouse survive. It's, you know,
wow.
as you said, I'm so grateful yeah. for our postal workers inside, postal workers outside. I'm grateful for all of our federal employees for what they do to keep the United States of America the greatest nation in the world.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we'll have to do a podcast on stories. That would be fun. Well, as we head into today's topic, you know, we're in a situation in life right now where, as you've talked about in the past couple of podcasts, even, you know, lots of changes when we go to the grocery store right now are taking place. When we're going to the gas pump, we see changes. When, when we're spending money at all right now, I mean, there are a lot of changes. If you're buying a house, if you're doing things like that, you know that the world is not the same as it was even 5 years ago. And when you are looking forward to your retirement, one of the things we like to say at the end of our podcast is that your retirement dreams really can come true. Well, what about those dreams, Elizabeth, when they involve wanting prayerfully to stay healthy? Is our Social Security, is the money going to be there for me mm-hmm. when I retire? That's a big concern.
Several times a week as I'm meeting with future retirees and we start putting together their strategic federal retirement plan and we're working on that income piece, when it turns to Social Security, several times a week I hear, well, yeah, if it's still here, mm-hmm. well, yeah, if it's still going to be around. I mean, I think that's the million-dollar question. Will Social Security still be there when I retire? Hmm. Well, you know, we just had a report come out from the Social Security Board of Trustees. It just released its annual report on the financial status of the Social Security Trust Funds, and that report came out in June. I was really pleasantly surprised at the positive spin to that. There's a lot of positive things that came out of that report. You know, inflation seems to be having a huge effect on everything from the price of food. Mm-hmm. I think in a prior podcast, I talked about the price of French vanilla creamer going up, doubling in price. The price of food in grocery stores and the amount that we're spending just to fill up our cars with gasoline. I mean, everything's going up, it seems. We're all affected by it. And so, you know, you can't help but be concerned about the things that's impacting our seniors more and more. And, you know, we're just now seeing the retirement contribution limits being increased. I'll talk more about that in a future podcast as well. But the federal government is actually passing laws, you know, Congress and is passing laws and putting programs in place to facilitate us saving more for retirement. They're, you know, it's not because they just love us so much. I mean, they realize we're in a situation where they have to make it more conducive to us saving more for retirement than ever before because of the report about Social Security. Even though there's positive things, listen to some of this information. So out of that report came this topic. The combined asset reserves of the Old Age and Survivors Insurance Disability, which is the OASI and the DI trust funds, are projected to be totally depleted in 2035 if Congress doesn't act before then. That's 1 year later. Here's the positive spin. That's actually 1 year later than last year's projection when the report came out last year. So that's a good thing. And at that time, there will be sufficient program income coming in that will pay 80% of the scheduled benefits. So, you know, here they are touting that as a positive thing, but they just got through telling us that it could be depleted in 2035. Wow. That very easily could be in my lifetime. You know, how is that a good thing? Well, you know, the whole deal with allowing us to save more for retirement is because they do know that our population in general and our population of retirees is growing so much faster than the income is coming into these programs. You know, that OASI trust fund is projected to be depleted in 2034. That's also 1 year later than what they estimated last year, and only 77% of the benefits are payable at that time. So the total annual expenditures of the program that's projected to exceed total annual income in 2022 and remain higher throughout this 75-year projection period of time doesn't bode well for Social Security. You know, the DI trust fund asset reserves are not projected to become depleted during that time, and that's a 75-year projected. So that's a positive thing. So I know this is a lot of technical information and a lot of big terms, but the bottom line is they do have a positive outlook for Social Security. It does seem to be getting better, and they are increasing what we're able to save for retirement. So that's a good thing. When it boils down to it, when it comes to, will Social Security still be there when I retire? Am I going to get to take advantage of any of it at all? There are some things that you can do that can help you. And this is really whether you're a federal or postal employee or not. Just remember that regardless of what's happening or what these projections, all these reports coming out are saying, Social Security was never intended to be the coverall for your retirement costs. It was never supposed to be your sole source of income in retirement. In fact, the typical retiree payment of Social Security is just a bit above $1,500 a month. So think about your salary now, and then think about $1,500 a month to live on. Once again, it was never intended to be the sole source of retirement income for us. So, you know, people's got many options that they can do to increase their personal finances and make them make that person less reliant on Social Security income. And we need to be taking advantage of those. There's a whole field of retirement planning that's tied, at least partly, to generating enough income to support a standard of living that goes up far above what Social Security provides. So planning ahead for retirement and long-term care is so important. It's one reason why I'm constantly talking about having a strategic federal retirement plan in place if you're a federal or postal employee. Start now. I don't care how long it is before you retire. If you're early in your career, start now. Your plans will look different now than somebody that's at the end of their career. Midterm should have a strategic federal retirement plan at least formulated in that it's a starting place that will lead you to that aha moment of, oh, I'm retired.
Yeah.
That should be the best time of your life, not the worst time because, oh my gosh, I've not planned very well. Oh, I didn't know it was going to cost that. Ooh, I didn't know that I could have a lifetime income option on that. I mean, one of the terms I want people to keep in mind from now until whatever that time is you get ready to retire, it's the term lifetime income. Your FERS pension is lifetime income for the employee. There is a survivor benefit that's also lifetime income for a spouse, but it is not multi-generational, even though you put money into that FERS system. Social Security is a government-controlled annuity, just like the FERS pension, government-controlled annuity, lifetime income for the retiree with partial survivor spouse benefits, but not multi-generational unless you've got dependent children or a disabled child. So what you do with your savings between now and when you retire, you need to keep in mind at least a portion of your retirement. How can I turn that into lifetime income? There's not any of us that wants to put together a plan, get to retire at 60 years old, and then at 85 run out of money. We don't want that to happen.
Right.
We don't want to be in a position that if indeed Social Security is not around when I'm in my 80s, that it devastates me.
Right.
So putting together a strategic federal retirement plan is in your best interest, your family's best interest, and it's extremely necessary. So interesting that people are looking at this report from the Social Security that came out, Trust Board, that came out in June as positive, and yet it still tells us that the end is near. I mean, go figure. Now, I myself am positive. Have not started drawing my Social Security yet. I plan to, intend to. I believe it'll be there for me to draw from. But by the same token, I think some things have to be done. There's going to have to be things we individually do. I think there's going to have to be things that Congress and the Senate's going to do. And our federal government's going to have to do.
Yeah.
So, million-dollar question. Will Social Security be here when I retire?
Very interesting. In fact, I've seen a couple of things even posted on social media lately on about if you're in your 30s, it's time to start thinking about a retirement plan. You know, if you have your first job and you're now earning some serious money and they're talking about a 401k or something along those lines, it's time to start thinking about your retirement. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, that was the last thing I was thinking about was ever retiring because you feel like you're going to live not necessarily forever, but you feel like it's so far away. But no matter what stage you are, this is important to do. It's important to know. It's important to be educated. And when you talk to the team at Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators, that's the whole purpose, to get you educated on how to best prepare for that time. And like you said, I think that's very interesting, a positive outlook on something that we say, well, it may or may not happen. That's that sounds kind of like the government's way of speaking, right?
Here at Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators, we consider your future as a retiree a puzzle with all of the pieces you have to put together. The FERS pension, FERS supplement, income, health insurance, life insurance, Social Security, Medicare. All of those things are pieces of the puzzle. Your retirement savings, TSP, is all a part of that and a timeline to go along with that. And so our job is to help you put the right pieces of the puzzle in the right place to make your retirement picture the best it can be.
Absolutely. I love how you have mentioned this before in different areas, that when you speak and when you talk in your books about things that you said about retirement dreams, that's the whole plan and purpose. Mm-hmm. So that you can remember that your retirement dreams really can come true.
Thank you for joining us today. At Federal Employee Benefit Coordinators, we want to help you develop, implement, and monitor a strategy that's designed to address your individual situation. Call us at 833-693-3388 or on the web at febcnow.com.